God's way is always His word, love, faith, mercy, and grace. Always. Today, Kenneth Copeland teaches how making quality decisions leads you to a life in the blessing. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Open your Bibles with me tonight to the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel. This, of course, is the bedrock teaching on faith by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 11, we'll begin reading with the 11th verse. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now eventide, or the evening, was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, in our study of faith, and there are a number of you present tonight that like Gloria and me, you've been studying faith because you live by faith. Your life is not only based on it, but wrapped up in it. And Gloria and I have made the decision before God, and it was when God first put the words in our mouths, a quality decision. And as we prayed, that phrase kept coming up in our prayer time, that we come before you and we make this quality decision. A decision of quality is a decision about which there is no more argument and from which there is no retreat. That's a decision of quality. Let's look at that verse again. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, now the evening was come, he spent all day in that temple and did not say a word. It appears that they didn't know he was there. And for them not to know he was in the temple meant that he, by the Holy Spirit, was hiding himself from them. Because anywhere he went, they knew he was there. I mean, it stirred things up, you know. But he looked round about. So what does that tell you? I mean, he looked and listened. He looked into everything that was going on there. He listened to everything that was being said. He didn't say anything, and he did not do anything. Now, why? It was just as bad that day as it was going to be the next day when he went back. Why didn't he? Now, remember, he said, I only say those things I hear my Father say. I only do those things I see my Father do. His Father didn't say anything, and his Father didn't do anything. So he just looked the situation over. He wasn't in a big hurry to kick anybody out of the denomination or out of the temple or bring charges against somebody or dump their tables over or nothing else. And you know it upset him just as bad last night as it did the next day. Because all that stuff going on in there. But he just looked round about. Now, this is all part of faith. Why? The scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. He took some time to listen. Went back to the house in Bethany. Stayed all night. Well, you know what he did all night. He's praying, listening, talking about this to his father. If the father hadn't said anything, he wouldn't have said anything yet. But he did. So he headed back over there the next morning. Now, far too many people, God's people, good people, you and me included, me especially, because I've always been of the sort that, you know, you just swing and then ask questions. He who getteth in the first lick winneth the fight, you know. So knock him down. If you made a mistake, apologize, but get him first, because it ain't looking good here. But no, that ain't gonna work in the kingdom of God. And far too much of our prayer is just knee-jerk response to something. Oh God, I believe I've received my healing. Instead of just, I don't care if your flesh and your mind is wanting to take off like a scared rabbit, you just, in your patience, Jesus said, possess ye your soul. That's your will, your mind, and your emotions. Take control. Shut up. That's right. There's a key issue to this thing. You get before the Lord. Amen. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you what to say. And about 9.5 times out of 10, approaching 10 times out of 10, it's going to be different than what your lightning fast mind thought you should have done.
That's right.
Amen. Because God's way is always His word, love, faith, mercy, and grace. Always. That's the way He does things. Now, there are times when you need to go into action just like Jesus did, but that action will still be under those same principles. You get out from under that and get out there on your own, you're going to get spanked. Not by God, but by the devil. He'll whoop up on you as long as you're out there in His territory. Amen. So this is an invaluable part of faith, is what I'm saying. Now notice this. On the morrow, so make a note there, in the morning, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, seeing a fig tree afar off. Now, this fig tree was not growing right there next to the road. It was some distance over there to it. He came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, evidently, this tree is far enough from the road that you couldn't tell from the road whether there were any figs on it or not. That's a good little piece over there, wasn't it? And he stopped and walked the distance from the road over here to this tree. Well, obviously, the whole group stayed on the road. In the first place, he didn't just explain everything he did all the time. And 99% of the time, they didn't have a clue what he was about to do. They didn't understand him all that well, because to them, he did strange things. He lived by faith. They didn't. At that time, they didn't. So now, follow what it says here. Now, remember, this is the morning. Say, morning time. Jesus, 14th verse, answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, he's far enough away that you couldn't see whether there's any figs on that tree or not. And they heard what he said. So he wasn't just pity-patting around about this thing, was he? He said the desired end results. He didn't add anything to it, and he didn't take anything from it. Turned around and walked away from it. I'm telling you, this is big stuff. So listen to me here carefully. They came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, right there, everybody in this room that has ever seen a Bible has heard of this. But right there is where most everybody's concept of what happened that day ends. That was only the beginning. Look at the next verse. And he taught. Not only did he bust up this gambling ring that was going on in there, broke that thing up, he had a service. Yeah. He taught something. Wow. That was part of his searching the day before on what to do here, which was a whole lot more than just dumping this stuff over and straightening out this mess. No, it's not the easiest thing in the world to come into a place, run about half of the people off, and then have a meeting, man. I mean, whoa, I'm quite sure that he's the only one in the crowd that could do that. Amen. But now notice this now. He taught, saying unto them. I mean, it's the same people that he just got through just ripping and tearing to shreds. Mm-hmm. He set them down, obvious. Yeah. Now shut up and listen. Is it not written?
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Now. Yeah. I mean, in the middle of all that, he opened the Word. Is it not written? And he begins to teach them from the Bible. My house should be called of all nations the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. The scribes and the chief priests heard it. They sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Somebody got astonished in there that day. And it made the religious folks mad. They were the ones that were running the tables. In our day and time, this could have been bingo night. This could have been a garage sale to get money to build the new church. You ain't got that much rummage to build a new church. Ain't that much used clothes in town, man. Chicken dinners. Yep. Can you imagine how many chickens would give their life for some cheap church house? Dear God. There's nothing wrong with that if you're doing it by faith and if you're doing it at God's direction. If he didn't direct you to do it, you're wasting your time.
That's it.
Amen. You understand? Amen. Now, I ain't jumping on your bingo night.
Come on.
It just depends on why are you having bingo night? All is in the motive.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. But he's preaching to the same people. Now, he spent all day in there the day before. I want you to notice something here. And when evening was come, spent all day in there this day too. Only spent the day preaching to them. That straightening all that mess up and turning those tables over couldn't take him very long. But he taught from the Word for the rest of the day. Wow. No wonder people were astonished. Now, you read statements like that. Let me give you some insight. It won't take but just a moment. You'll see it that quick. And then you can go back and study the New Testament and check out what I'm saying to you. The difference between what Jesus preached and what the leaders of the synagogues and the priests were preaching was this. They were preaching religion. He was preaching the blessing of Abraham. And it had come to the place where they were almost unaware of the blessing of Abraham. But that's what he was preaching. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Peter preached and said concerning this, you are all sons of the prophets. And talking about Jesus, and he said, and God sent Jesus here to bless you. Yes. That's what he came to do, was to pronounce the blessing. That's what Jesus' ministry was about, to get that blessing back. The very first words that any human being ever heard with his ear was be fruitful and multiply, had take dominion over the earth and subdue it and replenish it. I'm not talking about having babies. That's only part of it. But as we talked about earlier, the blessing was God's creative power to replenish this earth as it was used. It was to be replenished and resupplied. And it was the creative blessing on Adam that was to do it. And it's that same blessing that God, through Jesus, brought on earth, on us, by the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Because you look it up yourself in the book of Isaiah, and God said, the covenant that I have with him, I will make his waste places like the Garden of Eden. This is the Eden covenant. It is the Eden blessing. And it's on the inside of you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. There's enough power in you like there was in Adam to bless the whole earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's in there. And all of us in unity together constitute the body of Christ, the body of his anointing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So he was preaching the blessing. They were preaching religion. So what he was preaching astonished the people because they never heard of that. They didn't know they were blessed. All they heard was the religion part of it. Hallelujah. All Abraham knew was the blessing part of it. He didn't have any religion yet. Now, look at this again. In the morning, now how long has gone by? Verse 12, that was in the morning. He spoke to that tree, spent all day in the temple. Now notice, when evening was come in the 19th verse, he went out of the city. He went back to Bethany, spent the night there again. Amen. Now, you know Peter well enough to know that if there had been any sign of anything about that tree, he would have called somebody's attention to it. Huh? Now, what would have been the natural reaction to that? If Peter had, while they were going, if he had, you know, just walked over there to that tree, I'll catch up with you in a minute. Huh. Well, you know, I guess it just wasn't God's will to do anything to that tree. Oh, well, you just never know what God's going to do. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. In the morning, this is 24 hours later, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, the faith of Jesus was working in that tree all night long, all day long. Somewhere between the 12th and the 24th hour when they came by there, somewhere in that time, the power of it came from the inside up through the limbs of the tree and then out into the leaves, and the leaves shriveled up where you could see it on the outside. But it was working the whole time because it started in the roots. It didn't go from the outside in, it went from the inside out. Everything God does starts at the root. Why? What is the bottom line to that? Why can you depend on that being the truth all the time? Why is it he never starts on the outside going in, but he starts from the inside coming out? Why is it? Think it through. You've been reading your Bible a long time. Think that through. The sower soweth the word. Everything with God begins with a seed. And the seed begins by producing roots.
Come to these exciting meetings. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org. For every expectation, every desire, every responsibility, there's a bill that needs to be paid. When it comes to cash flow, too often we find ourselves more overcome than on top. To turn the tables, you need a paradigm shift, an awakening. To get what you've never had, you have to do what you've never done. Total immersion in the Word. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to equip you with the same life-changing tools that empowered them to annihilate financial turmoil and live an abundant, debt-free life. When activated, the 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough equips you to think spiritually about your finances, positioning you for financial breakthrough, paving the way for a productive attitude for wealth and prosperity. No matter what financial challenge you face, with God, all things are possible. Purchase your 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough for just $19.99, and as a bonus, we'll send you a free CD series by Pastor George Pearson's on living your life stress-free, a $49.99 value now available at a 60% savings. Order several copies for family and friends. They make great Christmas gifts, too. For an additional product discount and faster processing, visit kcm.org. The 10-day spiritual action plan and living your life stress-free. Order yours today.
Now, tomorrow here in the United States is our election day. A sleeping, non-voting church, a church that votes according to the world's economy and all of that instead of being led by God, is the only reason you can possibly have tyranny here in this country. And the church has given it over year after year after year after year after year after year for the last 100 years, and now we got a mess on our hands, and the power of God will turn it around. Now, let me remind you something that Jesus said in the 21st verse of the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Now let me tell you what Kenneth Copeland is saying to you this morning. Don't you ever give what's God's to Caesar. Amen. Don't you vote according to the economy. Aren't you fed up and tired of killing unborn babies and spending your tax money for abortion and teaching ungodly stuff in the schools? Aren't you tired of all of that? Well, then pray and go in there and pull the lever on that. You know what? You know, like, vote the bums out. Praise God. Amen. No, we vote in the line with God. Now, if you're going to continue to vote for abortion, then you're part of it. You're an abortionist. You're as guilty as the doctor that killed the baby. Now, you have to do something with that. You give what's God's to Caesar, and you stay silent. You take no action. You don't vote. If you don't vote at all, you voted for the worst of it. You voted for the terrible part of it. Get involved in what God's called us to do, because I'm telling you, this is our time. Father, we pray over our elections right now. The will of God be done from coast to coast, border to border, throughout the islands. I mean to tell you, praise God, from Alaska to Florida, praise the Lord. This entire nation, the Hawaiian Islands, all of it, all the territories, under the will and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, get a hold of this, the 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough. You don't need to be afraid. When a person that lives by faith never has to change the way they live because of the times. The times have to change around them. Amen. Get a hold of this. This is powerful. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block. Enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org.